Tonight's message is, how can I say thanks? You know, in a few weeks, we are heading toward the Thanksgiving month in November. It's the fourth Thursday of November, November 28th this year. And, you know, many on that day, Thanksgiving Day, are giving thanks. In a few weeks, we are heading toward the Thanksgiving month in November. It's the fourth Thursday of November, November 28th this year. And, you know, many on that day, Thanksgiving Day, are giving thanks to others and ultimately to God for His many blessings upon their lives. But, you know, as believers in Jesus Christ, we ought to be giving God thanks on a daily basis for His many blessings, like that breath that you just took was a gift from God. You need to give God thanks for that. And so, as I said, as believers in Jesus Christ, on a daily basis, we need to be giving Him thanks. And so, hence, we're going to be talking a Thanksgiving message early this year. Tonight's message comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. It's where Jesus healed the 10 lepers. Verse 11, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, Teacher, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Jesus was speaking in the vernacular of the people when he said the word foreigner. Then he said to them, rise and go, your faith has made you well. So we're going to look at this kind of verse by verse here for the next few minutes. So 10 men who had leprosy met Jesus as Jesus was going into a village. 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan. They had leprosy. It was a terrible skin disease. It was painful. A person who had it did not live a very long life. One form of it would cause the toes and the fingers to fall off. It was a painful, nasty skin disease. And it says they stood at a distance. You know, lepers at that time, they were quarantined. They couldn't be in society. They could not be amongst other people. And they cried out to Jesus, Jesus, Master, Teacher, have pity on us. Have mercy on us. Have compassion on us. They were saying, feel our pain, Jesus. We know that you can feel our pain, and we know that you can turn it around and bring healing to our bodies. And what did Jesus say? When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, from the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 14, the priest had to confirm that a person was healed of that skin disease before they could mingle again in society. Go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. It's not like Jesus healed them first and then said, go to the priests. It says in the Word of God, as they went, they were cleansed. They took steps of faith. They took Jesus at His word, and as they took steps of faith, they were healed of that leprosy. And the Word of God says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He must have been saying, God, I thank you. God, I glorify you. God, you are awesome. And it says he threw himself at Jesus' feet in humility and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. You know, Luke makes this point very clear that this person who returned to give Jesus thanks was a Samaritan. You got to realize that the Samaritans were despised by the Jews. They were seen as unholy by the Jews. There was a lot of animosity from the Jews to the Samaritans. He was the most unlikely person to return and give thanks, but he did. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner, this alien?" Jesus was just speaking in the vernacular of the people. Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. When Jesus said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well," that doesn't mean that the other 9 lost their healing. To me, it kind of shows that Jesus was appreciative of the Samaritan's gratitude. And he confirmed it and said, "You know, rise and go, I'm confirming that your faith has made you well." So, for us, in 2024, October of 24, you know, in this nation, we don't deal with physical leprosy in this nation, like these men dealt with in the first century. But before we met Jesus by faith in him, we dealt with the spiritual leprosy called sin. Before you met Jesus face to face, you dealt with a spiritual leprosy called sin. I'm going to read from Billy Graham's devotional, Hope for Each Day. Listen to this. I thought this was interesting here just a few days ago. From October 11th. Redeemed by love. The word redeem means to buy back, to recover by paying a price. The word redeemed can be illustrated by the ancient world through the position of a slave who had been captured in battle or enticed into serving one who is not his legal master. His real master, however, intent on recovering his slave's service and love, would buy him back, redeem him from the enemy at great personal cost. That is what God did for us. Captured by Satan and enticed into his service, we were slaves of sin without any hope of deliverance. But God still loved us, and he was determined to restore us to his household. By his death on the cross, Jesus paid the price for our deliverance. That's awesome, isn't it? So sin had you in a stronghold before you met Jesus. Just like the lepers who were isolated, kind of like in a prison quarantine, sin at one time before you met Jesus had you behind its bars. You know, before you met Jesus, maybe every other word was a four-letter cuss word. And that was sin's oppressive power trying to control your mouth. You know, before you met Jesus and put your faith and trust in him, maybe you would get drunk every single weekend. That was the oppressive power of sin trying to control your body. You know, before you met Jesus, sin had you separated from God, headed for a lost eternity. But there's good news. Then you met Jesus and took steps of faith toward him like the lepers did toward the priest. You put your trust in him and he healed you of that spiritual disease called sin. You know, when you put your faith in Jesus, a greater power, the power of the Holy Ghost, took up residence on the inside of you. When you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God took up residence in your heart. There was a greater power then living in you than the power of sin before Jesus. And when you put your faith in Jesus, the power of sin started breaking over your life. He saves his people from their sins. Maybe your vocabulary started cleaning up once you met Jesus. Maybe that desire for alcohol and sleeping for someone who is not sleeping with someone who is not your spouse, maybe those things fell off your life when you met Jesus. And then Jesus also healed you of the devastating effect of sin, the eternal separation from God. By faith in Jesus, your fellowship with God, your peace with God was restored. Remember our forefathers, Adam and Eve. They sinned. They ate of the forbidden fruits in the garden. They lost fellowship with God, and that sin nature was passed down from generation to generation. But when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, be it a month ago or 5 months ago or 15 months ago, your fellowship with God was restored. You now have peace with God. You're in right standing with God. You see, when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, He healed you of that spiritual disease, that spiritual leprosy called sin, its power and its devastating effect of eternal separation from God. Is that good news here tonight? You received fellowship with Jesus. Your fellowship with God was restored when you put faith in Jesus. Had you died the moment you put faith in Jesus Christ, you would have gone straight to heaven. John writes in 1 John 5, he said, "He who has the Son has life." The day that you accepted Jesus Christ, the Son, into your life, into your heart, you received the gift of eternal life. Eternal life began for you the moment that you accepted Jesus into your heart. As I said a few moments ago, we don't deal with physical leprosy in this nation, right? But before Jesus, before we met Jesus, by faith in Him, we all dealt with the spiritual leprosy called sin. But by faith in Jesus, God healed us of it. So how, in a practical way, here in 2024, here and forward, how do I say thanks for His healing of my spiritual leprosy? How do you say thanks to God for His healing of that spiritual disease called sin? You know, the Samaritan, when he noticed that he was cleansed, he was healed, he returned to Jesus, right? He praised God. He fell at the feet of Jesus and did what? He thanked Him. He had an attitude of gratitude. He thanked Him with His words. You know, in the eyes of the Jews, because the Jews despised the Samaritans, he was the most unlikely person to turn around, go back to Jesus, and thank Him. And maybe there's some people that were once in your circle before you met Jesus that kind of see you according to your past. Maybe they saw you as a person, see you as a person that spoke four-letter words. Maybe they see you as a person that was getting drunk all the time, but be it as it is, you might be an unlikely person in their eyes. It doesn't matter. Give God thanks anyway for His healing of that spiritual disease called sin in your life. Is that good news here tonight? The Samaritan thanked Jesus with his words. I could just see him saying, "Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for healing me of this terrible skin disease, this leprosy. God, I love you. God, I glorify you." He was just so overjoyed in thanking Jesus with his word. He fell in humility to the feet of Jesus. You can thank God with your words. You can say to God, "God, I thank you for healing me of this spiritual disease called sin. God, I thank you that once I was lost, God, I was eternally separated from you. I was headed to hell, but Jesus, I thank you that by faith in you, you broke the power of sin over my life, that you restored fellowship between me and the Father. And Jesus, I love you. I thank you. God, I glorify you." You can thank Jesus. You can thank God with your words like the Samaritan did. But also remember to thank Him in action. Remember the old saying, actions speak louder than words. Thank Him in action with your lifestyle. How do you thank Jesus for healing you of this spiritual disease with your actions? You thank Him with your lifestyle. You thank Him with your lifestyle by asking Jesus to be Lord, or making Jesus Lord over every part of your existence. You can thank God with your words. You can thank Jesus with your words for healing you of this spiritual disease called sin. But you can also thank Him with your lifestyle, surrendering to the will of God for your life, submitting every part of your lifestyle to the lordship, to the control, to the rulership of Jesus. Some may not like this, but it's the truth. And it's a lifelong process. Making Jesus Lord, ruler, controller over every part of your life doesn't happen overnight. It is a lifelong process. But that's how in your actions you're telling God thanks for healing you of that spiritual disease. By submitting to the rulership, to the lordship of His Son, Jesus Christ, with every part of you. So what did Paul write to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:17? He says, therefore, if anybody is in Christ, she is a brand new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. According to Acts 5:20, when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus and the power of sin started being broken over your life, you received a new life. Let me say it again. When you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, you received a new life. Your spirit was born again. It was renewed. It went from death to life. And so say, God, I thank you for this new life in Jesus Christ. And my way of saying thanks to you is by taking my life and giving every part of my lifestyle over to the lordship of Jesus Christ. What does Lord mean?
Master ruler.
It means ruler, controller, one supreme in authority. How many here have an employer? Or maybe you work for an employer, maybe 20 hours a week or 40 hours a week. Well, that person is paying you to do a good, honest day wages. And that person for 8 hours is your boss. And he gives you tasks and things to do. And because he's paying you, you do the things that he asks you to do, right? At your job. Well, guess what? Jesus wants to be the big boss of your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Jesus wants to be the big boss over every part of your life. The way you tell God thanks for healing you of your spiritual leprosy is by beginning to submit every part of your lifestyle to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And you can't do it on your own. In our own human flesh, it's difficult, it's tough. But when it gets tough to make Jesus Lord over areas of your life, cry out to God and say, God, I can't do it on my own. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit resident on the inside of you, will enable you to make Jesus Lord and ruler over those areas of your life. You might have this mindset tonight, well, you know what? You know, I put my faith in Jesus. He's my Savior, and I do what He wants me to do, but can I just do some of the things I want to do sometimes? If I get irritated and frustrated with somebody, can I just speak some four-letter words? Can I just go once in a while on a Saturday evening and get drunk with the gang? Man, this is my life. I like to do some of these things. Friends, you've got to put death to self. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will help you do it. So the question tonight is this. Who is in the driver's seat of your life? Who is in the driver's seat of your life? Tonight is the night where you need to slide over to the passenger side and put Jesus in the driver's seat of your life. Tonight is a night to put Jesus behind the steering wheel of your life. He wants to be Lord over every part of you. He wants to be Lord over your words. He wants to be Lord and ruler over what you do with your body, over your soul, the emotional part of you. Every part of you has got to be given over to the authority and rulership of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't happen overnight. Don't get discouraged. It takes the process of a lifetime to make Jesus Lord over every single part of your life. And He will give you the divine empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do it in your life. All you have to do is pray and cry out to Him, and God will answer you. You know, because even though you've put faith in Jesus, and Jesus is your Savior, right? Sin at times will want to pop its ugly head, right? We still struggle with the sin nature because we're not in heaven yet, right? So even though you're following Jesus, you're a disciple of Jesus, you love Jesus, the sin nature at times will want to pop its ugly head in your life. So when that person irritates you or you stub your big toe, maybe you're like, man, I just want to speak a four-letter word. But at the moment you're about to speak a bad four-letter word, think to yourself, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus, what would my Lord and Savior do? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If somebody irritated Jesus and got under his skin, He wouldn't curse him. He would bless them. He said it in the Sermon on the Mount. When they persecute you, you bless them in return. What would my Lord and Savior do? He would bless them. So I'm going to zip my lip. I'm not going to speak that bad four-letter word. And I'm just going to tell that person, God bless you. God has a plan for your life. God loves you, right? That's making Jesus Lord over your words, over your mouth. You know, and concerning your body, man, it's like you've been sober, you haven't been drinking, but all at once you get an invitation to go Saturday night to a bar. And you get weak. You're like, man, I love Jesus, I follow Jesus, but man, I just want to take that invitation up. I want to take him up on that invitation. I want to go to the bar. And I want to drink some. At the moment you're about to do that, think to yourself, well, if Jesus is my Lord, my ruler, I've got to ask myself, what would Jesus do? If Jesus was invited by someone to do something sinful, what would Jesus have done? He would have turned his head and walked away because he was first of all the sinless one. But if we are his disciples, his followers, you got to ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus wouldn't go to the bar. So guess what? If you're his true disciple, you're his follower, you don't go to that bar. You follow Jesus. You make him Lord over what you're doing with your body. Is that making sense here tonight? Yeah. You know, that for the guys here tonight, if that beautiful woman walks by, right? And your mind starts wandering, at the point that your mind starts wandering because of her attractiveness, you think to yourself, my goodness, all right, Jesus is my Lord. He's the one I submit to. I'm his disciple. My mind is beginning to wander, so I need to ask myself, what would Jesus do? If Jesus saw a beautiful woman walk by, he would look, turn around, and walk away and think pure thoughts. And that's the same thing we have got to do as his disciples. Making him Lord over every part of our existence is our way of saying thanks to God for his indescribable gift, Jesus Christ, and for healing of us of this spiritual leprosy called sin, its power and its devastating effect of eternal separation from God. That power has been broken over us, right? And now we have fellowship with God on our way to heaven when we leave this earth. It's a lifelong process. And so finally, one of the ways to make Jesus Lord more and more on a daily basis over every part of your life is by doing what Paul writes in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, the books that you read influence the way that you live, the way that you think. Why not read the greatest book in the world, the Word of God? Maybe on your phone, you're getting on the internet, you're reading bad news, or you're reading magazines that are not good, or newspapers that are depressing. Maybe you're reading some bad stuff, and what you read, what you put into your mind will influence the way you live, the way you think, the way you operate on a daily basis with other people. Why not start on a daily basis renewing your mind with the Word of God, the greatest book in the history of this world, the most famous book in the history of this world? Not just on Easter, not reading it just on Easter and Christmas. That's not going to cut it. Two or three days a year is not going to cut it. If you want your mind to be renewed and you want to be more like Jesus, submitting to His Lordship, you've got to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis every single day. You may not have a lot of time, so read a few scriptures from Genesis and John, the Gospel of John. You may have plenty of time on your hands, so read a couple of chapters from Genesis and a couple of chapters from John. And start reading the Word of God. Read, meditate upon what you're reading. Think about, mull it over, chew on it. And as you do so, your mind will be renewed. As your mind is renewed, your behaviors will change. You'll start seeing that Jesus more and more is becoming Lord over every part of your existence. How do I say thanks? How do we say thanks? How? For God's awesome healing of the spiritual leprosy called sin. We say thanks with our words, but more importantly, with our lifestyles, submitting our lifestyles to the Lordship of Jesus Christ on a daily basis. When you put faith in Jesus, He became your Savior. But He wants to be more than just Savior. He also wants to be Lord, the big boss over every part of your life. Amen. And as you were listening tonight, you might have thought, well, you know what? I've never even put my faith in Jesus. Never done it once. But tonight, for the very first time, I want to do that. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, but tonight, for the first time, you're wanting to do that, raise your hand. There's not another moment to waste, because the next hour is not guaranteed you. It's first-time salvation prayer, sir? Awesome. Stand up. Anybody else want to follow his lead? What's your name? What is it?
David.
Say it.
David.
Good name. First time salvation prayer, right? Anybody else want to follow his lead? Anybody else? Anybody else? If God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit, don't ignore His voice. Listen to what God is telling you. All right, David, repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus. First time? Awesome. Both of you. Dear Jesus. I thank You that You died upon the cross for my sin. I've messed up. I've gone my own way. I've said and done some bad things. But tonight, I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going Your way only. Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord. Give me the strength, the power of the Holy Spirit, to follow You all the days of my life. I thank You that when I leave this earth, I'll be in heaven forever with You one day. Lord Jesus, I love You. I look forward to seeing You face to face. Amen. Welcome to God's family. There may be some of you out there tonight that put your faith and trust in Jesus at one time, but maybe you got upset with somebody, maybe you got upset with God. And tonight you want to re-give, rededicate your life back to Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand. Sir, stand up. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Anybody else want to follow his lead? There's not another moment to waste. Remember, the next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to step into eternity in the next hour, do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you'd be in heaven? Anybody else want to follow this man's lead? Doesn't matter what somebody next to you is thinking. It's only what God thinks about you that really matters. In the next 5 minutes, they'll forget. Don't worry about it. Anybody else, if God is whispering to you by his Holy Spirit, don't ignore his voice. Listen to the voice of God. Anybody else want to follow this man's lead? Anybody else in the room here tonight? Anybody else? Anybody else? You're not quite sure on the inside if your life is right with Christ. You're not sure. You need to be sure tonight. If that's you, raise your hand, stand up. Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed. Anybody else? Stand up, sir. Anybody else want to follow their lead? All right. Anybody else? All right, those standing up, come forward. You want to come up, Brother Roy? Help out? Roy is volunteering here tonight. Brother Roy. All right. You guys can repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I love you. I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sins. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. I've said and done some bad things. Tonight I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way again. I love you, Jesus. Give me the strength to follow you all the days of my life. And I thank you that when I leave this earth, I will see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all right. For those of you who accepted Christ for the first time, there was two of you, the men who recommitted their lives tonight. There's certain spiritual practices that you need to practice in order to remain close to Christ, but praying to God, continuing to going to church services, reading the Bible as we talked about on a consistent basis, renewing your minds, finding good, solid Christian friends, that one or two that could be in your inner circle. Amen? God loves you so much. He's got a great plan for your life. And when you leave this earth, the good news is you're headed to heaven to be with God forever. May God richly bless you. The brother who's going to close it off tonight is right here, sir.
Thank you very much, Father Jonathan.